Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Bird's Eye View here, and it's, I'm solo. I'm flying solo. This is Jesse. Mike is on, he's doing some paternity leave, and we were going to have a special guest, but unfortunately they had to call out sick this morning, so I'm riding solo here on WTBR, WSBR, but hopefully everyone's doing all right. It's been... Honestly, the weather has been a big mood lifter. Gorgeous out yesterday. Finally, shorts weather. You throw on a hoodie and you're good. It has been very, very nice. Of course, I think like Sunday and Tuesday it's going to snow. Which, just make up your mind. Please. Make it spring. But, enough of that. It's been a busy couple weeks. It's funny. This is not really so much to discuss, and I'm solo for it. But that's okay. That's okay. We got some stuff to talk about. This past weekend, we had the basketball state championships that officially ended the winter high school season, and once again, Berkshire County brought back a state title, third year in a row now. That a Berkshire team has won in Lowell. Second year in a row, that was Hoosick Valley, the girls basketball team, which it's kind of incredible. It's not kind of, it is incredible. They are the new Lee. Arguably, they've already been Lee, but I think this kind of just solidified it in my mind. You know, if you can remember the 90s and the dynasty that was Lee girls hoops and how they just controlled Division III in Massachusetts, how they could have gone toe-to-toe with some of the D2, D1 teams. And, you know, they got a three-peat, 89, 90, 91. Then, oh no, Lennox won in 92. Then Lee won again in 93. Coach Thompsonella won 6 state titles in 20 years, 15 Western Mass championships. Which is insane, by the way. 15 Western Mass titles in 20 years. And he basically won a state title every 3 years. And now Hoosick is doing the same thing, basically. I mean, you know, 2 years in a row, they're back-to-back in the statewide format, right? It's not like they were playing Western Mass teams who they knew. They had to play a whole variety of teams across the state, and they still won. Twice in a row. And, you know, they won in 2019, they won a state title. So in seven years, they have 3 state championships, a share of a state championship, and a runner-up finish. And one of those 7 years was COVID, so it doesn't really count. That's unreal. Essentially, in 6 seasons, they have four championships. That's incredible. And since 2013, when they won their first Western Mass championship, they've been to another, I want to say, 4 state title games. Like, this is incredible. This is a dynasty. This is why they are a dynasty. This is why they are the dynasty in Massachusetts basketball right now. And they haven't given up that crown. You know, so yeah, since 2013, 11 Western Mass titles, 9 title games, 3 state championships indisputably, a share of another. It's like, Hoosick is the juggernaut. And if you watched that game, if you were there at that game on Sunday in Lowell at the Tsongas Center, it was Hoosick Valley beat Renaissance 64-57. And in a certain context, they didn't deserve to win because Renaissance's best player was Zion Wallace, and she was the best player on the court, and she was dominant. 20 points, 22 rebounds. And Hoosick was down 13 at halftime. They were down entering the fourth quarter. They were down well into the fourth quarter. But, you know, maturity and not taking yourself out of the game is part of being great. And Renaissance took themselves out of the game. And that's part of it. That's part of it. You know, you cannot self-combust, and they did. And if you want to beat a champion, you have to be perfect. You are not going to get any free rides. You are not. It's not going to be easy. And Renaissance was not perfect, and Husek made them pay. If you were there or you watched it, you might know. But it was an ugly game a little bit, because you had 6 technical fouls. You had 4 ejections. You had another 2 players foul out. There was pushing and shoving. We had some stomps. We had a punch thrown. Just all kinds of craziness. And at a certain point, it was Zion Wallace and basically 4 JV players for Renaissance. And Zion Wallace was almost good enough to beat Husek single-handedly. But Husek did well enough to make it close. And then when Wallace got her 5th foul, that's when Husek took over and won the game and went back-to-back. And, you know, it wasn't the cleanest win, but a win's a win. And when you're in the state title game, you have to be perfect. And Renaissance was not perfect. And that's kind of the issue. You know, you have to keep your emotions in check. That's part of winning. Making shots is a big part of it. Playing defense is a big part of it. But you talk to any coach in any sport at any level, and they're going to say one of the biggest keys to winning is not beating yourself. What did Bill Belichick say for 20 years in New England, right? Where the other team's going to beat themselves, we're not. Right? Dumb penalties. Emotions in check. All that kind of stuff. Well, Husek definitely let its emotions get the better of it at times, but they held in check. They held themselves in check, and Renaissance didn't. And Husek is back-to-back title winner. And that is unbelievable career for Emma Mezwar and Ashlyn LeJour and Marion Capiello, who, by the way, was playing on 1 ACL, and she came in and gave them some good defense, some good minutes, which is wild to say. But, you know, those three in their 4 years on varsity have a record of 94-19. Unreal. I mean, coaches celebrate when they get to 100 wins, and these kids have done so in 4 years as players. And their freshman year was the first year after COVID. So, like, COVID, you know, it wasn't the COVID season, but it was still, you know, just right past COVID. So they easily could have missed games. People could have been out. And just, I mean, as I said, this is a storied program, and they have somehow just made their mark in Sharpie, you know? They stand out amongst an already pretty legendary last 12 years of Hurricane basketball. Ashlyn LeJour finishes her career with 1,227 points, 33rd on the all-time Berkshire County girls list. You know, all 3 of them in their 4 years went to 4 straight Western Mass title games, won 4 straight Western Mass title games. Crazy. Went to 3 out of the 4 years went to the state title game. And that's 4, they went to 4 Final Fours. 4 Final Fours in the new format. Went to 3 state title games, lost the first one when they were freshmen, then as juniors and seniors, won. It's crazy, man. It's just unbelievably impressive. You know, credit to John Frederick, who he's now 3 years into the job, and he has won 2 state titles. Just amazing. They are the dynasty, and I would expect Renaissance to win the next 3 state titles, as long as Zion Wallace is still there. But this is just, you know, Husek showed, hey, you want to beat us, you got to be perfect, because we still hold all the cards. We're still the big dog. We're still the one you have to beat. And, you know, in a year when you say, okay, Hopedale's the 1 seed, Renaissance is the best players, you know, maybe you look at Well, you looked at Lennox for a second, and they couldn't get past Renaissance. You looked at, okay, Lee beat Drury. Lee upset Hopedale. Looked at, okay, Maynard seems very, very good. They're the three seed, and it doesn't matter because Hoosick is still Hoosick. You should give it credit, too, because some of their younger players, Reagan Shea, kind of had a breakout game, I think. 15 points was instrumental to them making the comeback. Hit 3 three-pointers. Think she'll be a very good player for them. 3-and-D player, shooter. Genevieve LeJess, Sophia Wilson. Really nice job as kind of the next generation of Hoosick bigs. Jenna Wittick looks like a good point guard for the future. They'll certainly, they won't, I don't know if they'll be as good as they are. I don't think they'll be as good as they are. They were this year, next year. But they certainly have some pieces who can win. Actually, on the topic of Reagan Shea, hit 49 threes, which is second in the county this year on the girls' side. Very, very impressive. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll talk Monument Boys. So keep it locked right here on WTBR.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying, anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Welcome back here, Bird's Eye View. Jesse, we're flying solo. Just kind of got to break up the high school sports real quick to just say, because I'm kind of blown away. So Bill Chisholm, he bought the Celtics. Because for those who don't know, for those who do know, the Celtics were put on the market after they won the NBA Finals last year. And William Chisholm, I think? Chisholm? He's the managing director of Symphony Technology Group. Apparently grew up on the North Shore, lifelong Celtics fan. He bought them, and that's kind of news in and of itself, but apparently he bought them for $6.1 billion, the largest sale for a sports franchise in North America. That's from Shams Charania of ESPN. That's insane. That is craziness. The Grousebecks, who owned the Celtics up until now, bought the Celtics for $360 million in 2002. Now they sold it for $6.1 billion. I mean, that's NFL money. That's insane. The Mavericks, when they had Luka, went for $3 billion and change. I mean, I knew the Celtics would go for a lot, but that's wild. Was not expecting it to be that much money. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. All right, sorry, that's just kind of one of those things that just struck me. You know, you don't expect it to be like that. In any case, I guess back now to a regularly scheduled high school hoops. Yeah, wow, that really just kind of stunned me. All right, in any case, Monument Mountain. The Monument Mountain boys, unfortunately, they did not win the state title on Saturday in the D4. I suppose I should have mentioned the Hoosick Valley girls won in D5. Monument Mountain boys lost in D4 to Georgetown. They lost 61-54. And it's tough. It's tough because they played well enough to win. And for everything that Georgetown did, for everything that Monument didn't do, it really just came down to three-point shooting. And they were 2 of 21 from deep. And frankly, I don't know if they ever shot that poorly. It was just kind of a wild, inexplicable just night where they could not hit the basket. And a lot of the balls were air balls. Not bad looks, just could not hit. You know, Griffin McElroy and Manny Brown, I believe, combined for 120 three-pointers this season. Like, that's insane. And combined, I believe they were 1 of 13 from 3. And that one 3 they did hit was shot with 3 seconds left in the game. So, you know, it was already over. And I just... it's just tough because, you know, if they shoot really bad, you know, if they're 5 of 21, right, like a quarter, they win the game. And it was just this rare instance. You know, you are not going to see Manny Brown and Griffin McElroy and Isaiah Kiefner and all those players shoot that poorly from three ever again. I never saw it prior, and I don't know if I'll see it afterwards, assuming they keep up their basketball careers. Just a kind of a freak thing. It's tough because that's the reason they lost, you know. And on the flip side, kind of the worst confluence of factors, on the flip side, Georgetown's Irvin Zabata couldn't miss. Was on a heater. 6 of 7 from 3 in the first half. 7 of 9. I mean, Rick Reagan, the Georgetown coach, even admitted after the game, he said, you know, that he's why we won. Our offense really wasn't doing much. It wasn't playing how it needed to play, and he was the reason we were up. Georgetown was up 13 at halftime, and credit to Monument, because they fought back, did everything they could. You know, they led in the fourth quarter, and then immediately, it was about a 3 that just put Georgetown right back up. And that one big shot that Monument needed to get the momentum and take the lead and you know, get something, they just couldn't get it. And that is brutal. You know, this has been a fantastic season for the Spartans. They went to their first Final Four in the new statewide format, won their first Western Mass Championship in 46 years, you know, got revenge on Pittsfield, like, was a fantastic season, went to the first state final ever in program history on the boys' side, and they were just a little short, came up a little short, and that's just... they kind of have to take it on the chin, but, you know, once again, like, they should not hold their heads. They all played their tails off. They all fought to the end. You know, they made Georgetown work for it for 32 minutes, and that's really all you can ask for. I like what Randy Cole has said. You know, they're my boys. They made me a better coach, better person. I think that, you know, what he's done with the program the last 2 years, you know, Monument's just kind of been loaded, and to keep everyone locked in for 50 games can be difficult because, you know, they're kids, and they're going to say we're better, and we can talent it out, and that's not the case, and Monument's been locked in. And yeah, you know, this crop of Monument seniors, Manny Brown, Griffin McElroy, Isaiah Kiefner, plus Christian Blanchard, they have had a heck of a 2-year run. Back-to-back Western Mass titles, one as their when they were seniors. This year, as seniors, go to the Final Four, go to the state title game. You know, they were 18-0 in the regular season last year. They were 16-2 in the regular season this year. Just fantastic way to end their Spartan careers. Manny Brown finishes his career with 1,249 points, 29th on the all-time county boys leaderboard. Went past Wakona's Pat McLaughlin, who graduated last year. And, you know, McLaughlin had an excellent senior season, excellent career, and Manny Brown scoots right ahead of him. Also, Manny, I think, had 650 points this year. Insane season. 650 points. Led the county both, or he led the county in scoring, led the county in points per game by 5 points per game. 25.25 points per game. Jorge Bond was second with 20.8. That's 5 points per game more. That's insane. And he had 67 three-pointers. Like, phenomenal season for him. And like I said, Griffin McElroy, 53 three-pointers. Just, this has been a kind of a dream two-season stretch for the Spartans, and it sucks that it couldn't end with that kind of storybook ending, but they should not be disappointed in themselves whatsoever. This was a great year, a great season, and it's tough, but their heads should be held high. Great Barrington should be very proud of them. We'll see what they look like next year. You know, they graduate four of their five starters. So, we'll see what they look like in 2025, but that's a future problem. But yeah, that's kind of basketball season. Later tonight's the Western Mass Senior All-Star Game at the Hall of Fame in Springfield. So, not sure if anyone's making the drive out for that. It's usually not too bad. It's kind of cool, you know, you get to go to the got to go to the Hall of Fame, get to look around in it, then get to play on the court in the Hall of Fame, which is pretty neat. There's the class C and D. If you think about Western Mass classes, class C and D, boys are at 5:30, girls game will follow probably around 7, and that's all the girls C through or D through A, and then the class A and B boys will be played at 8:30, or whenever the girls game finishes. Had a fair few Berkshire County players make it. Ben Kelly from Lee, Mount Everett's Sean Warren, Drury's Sam Mormon, Drury's Jacinta Felix, Ashton Leisure and Emma Ezwar from Mahuzik, as mentioned earlier, Lennox's Jocelyn Fairfield, Pittsfield's Des Powell, Taconic's Jalen Walker, Taconic on the boys' side, Kyle McGrath and Cesar Santos, Monument's Manny Brown and Isaiah Kiefner, Pittsfield's Kyle Cardoso, Wakona's Evan Alfonso. So, yeah. Definitely some legit Berkshire hoopers will be on the Court of Dreams tonight. That's kind of going to do it for basketball season. When Mike's back next week, so maybe we'll do a kind of a season recap. Talk about some moments from the year. Got a few minutes left though, so actually I guess I can talk about this. So I should preface by saying none of this is official yet. There's an appeals process. This is still in the proposal stage. Athletic directors need to finalize things. Schools need to finalize things. So it's not 100%. It's not confirmed. It's not confirmed, but like in the football season, at the end of the football season, at the end of the fall season, there was realignment for Western Mass athletic leagues. And at the end of this winter season, there is realignment for Western Mass athletic leagues. Basketball is the one that actually has had change. Most of the other leagues are basically the same. But basketball has had change. And so, if things shake out how they are projected to shake out, there will be a Berkshire League in 2025, which is pretty cool. On the boys' side, Hoosick Valley, Drury, Wakona, Taconic, Pittsfield, and Monument will all be in a Berkshire League together, which I know for the old-school fans here would be pretty awesome. I say old-school really like 6 years ago. But yeah, that'll be back. And there will be not only that, there'll be a lot of leagues that will kind of look like Berkshire Leagues. You know? Also on the boys' side, now in Everett, Mount Greylock, Lee, Lennox, they'll all be together. On the girls' side, Hoosick, Drury, Wakona, Lennox, all be together. Like, so that's some legit Berkshire power all together in leagues that should be really, really fun. Taconic, Monument, Lee, and Greylock on the girls' side will all be together. A legitimate Berkshire league and some almost Berkshire leagues are very much in the realm of possibility for next season, which would be really, really cool. Although, I guess I should say, I would be remiss not to mention the Pittsfield girls, because they will not be in a quasi-Berkshire league. They will, however, be in the Valley League. This year, they were in the Valley Wheel, which was the second best league in Western Mass. Next year, they will be in the Valley League, which is the best league in Western Mass, and that will be a gauntlet. That will be insane, assuming things shake out. They will be with Springfield Central, Northampton, Minichog, South Hadley, and Longmeadow. Like, that's an unreal collection of talent. You know, South Hadley, Pittsfield fans should know, beat PHS in the Western Mass Finals last year, lost to PHS in the Western Mass Finals this year, went to back-to-back Division IV title games. Minichog gave PHS its only regular season loss this year. Legitimate D2 program. Northampton went to the D2 Final Four in 2024, went to the quarterfinals this year, has been to, I think, four straight Class A title games. Every time they've lost to Springfield Central, which Springfield Central lost to Pittsfield this year, but that was the first time since 2020 that Central lost to another Western Mass team. Central, four straight Class A titles, won the state championship in 2021, lost it, I think, in 2022, been to two straight Final Fours since. Like, this is a grueling league. So it'll be very interesting to see how PHS handles that, enjoys the step up in competition. You know, I imagine their power ranking will be great. Should also note some interesting points. So for one, the leagues will, no matter how they shake out, will only be for 2 years. So if teams dramatically overperform or underperform their new league, they can be moved after 2 years. So you're not locked in for as long. And also, there's no more crossover leagues, which in the old days, literally this past season, for instance, like Taconic was in the Suburban North, so there was a Suburban South. It played everyone in the Suburban North, its league, twice, and then everyone in the Suburban South, its crossover league, it played once. That's no longer the case. There's no more crossover leagues for anyone. So, for example, the Berkshire League has six teams. Taconic would play everyone in it twice, and then its other eight games would just schedule independently, which would allow, I think, the Thunder to play some bigger schools, right? Because as much as you love playing Monument and Hoosick and Drury and Wakona, if they're going to play in the D3 in states, they need to face, you know, a Minichog and a Chicopee Comp and an Agawam, and I think they'll be able to do that pretty easily. But that'll be interesting to see how all that kind of shakes out over the next month or two. My guess is probably by end of April, early May, we'll have confirmation on all these leagues. We have confirmation on the fall stuff. So there will be a Berkshire Volleyball League that's confirmed. It'll be Pittsfield, Taconic, Wakona, Mount Greylock, Lennox, and Lee all be together in Berkshire League. Monument, Mountain, and Mount Everett Volleyball, they will be in the Metro League with a bunch of kind of Springfield area teams. So that's very cool. The Grieve League in girls soccer is basically a Berkshire league. So, yeah, a lot more Berkshire flavor in these leagues, which is kind of going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It should hopefully give a lot better environments for games. You know, we'll see how it affects power ratings, but it should give a lot more oomph. You know, a crowded gym on a Friday night is awesome. And if you can get a, you know, packed soccer field even on a Wednesday, like, that's really, really cool. It's great for the kids, great for the communities, great for the teams. But in any case, that's going to do it. Thank you for rocking with me solo. That's the end of winter season. Stay tuned till next Thursday.